You are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Welcome to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. Tonight we have a very special guest. He should be coming on any minute, Mr. Chris Jasper of the legendary Isley Brothers, Jasper Isley and Jasper. You know, we're going to get into this cut, Caravan of Love, while we wait for Mr. Jasper.
Thank you. This is Chris Jasper, and you're listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Chris.
Chris, how you doing, man? This is Welcome to Culture Zine Radio.
Yeah.
We're very blessed to have you here. We're going to spend the evening here with Mr. Chris Jasper. Can you, before we get into anything, man, can you tell me how that song came about?
Yeah, Caravan of Love. I was just... Jasper has just gotten over, you know, the first release, which was an album called Broadway's Closer to Sunset Boulevard. And we had a mixture of songs on there. You know, we had, you know, some what you would call top 40, some rock, some R&B. You know, we tried a lot of different things. And when I was writing Caravan, I wanted to come back, you know, to the soul music that people knew us, from. And that's kind of the concept I had when I was writing a song, but I also wanted the message to be something that everybody could identify with, you know. So that's kind of the approach I used in writing that song.
Now, from what I understand, you wrote a lot of the songs for this group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of the group. For the Love of You, Live It Up, The Heat Is On. You know, I co-wrote a lot of stuff with Ernie, too, but, you know, Once Had Your Love, Rockin' with Fire, Showdown, I mean, there's so many of them. And,
so
of course,
Caravan of Love and
Insatiable Woman, you know, that's another one.
Insatiable,
you know?
Yeah. We'll definitely get into to some of those when we get into the new album. How long have you guys been doing this? How long have you been doing this?
Ah, man, I guess you could say from the early 70s up to now, you know, because that's when, you know, we started recording with the older brothers. So it's been that long.
Wow. Give us a little, give these young guys a little history on who you guys are. So, you know, a lot of people love you. I mean, a lot of people love the stuff you guys have put out. And we continue to love the product that you put out. And you can definitely tell in this new album that this is, you know, one of the main writers of this group, and you can tell when you went solo, you can tell all the different sounds. Tell us a little bit about how you guys got started and how you got started.
Well, I can talk about, you know, how I got started. I was about 7 years old, and I used to play piano by ear. I used to, you know, play the songs I heard off radio, like Ray Charles and Sam Cooke and those guys and Marvin Gaye. And, you know, my mom saw me playing by ear and she said, look, you know, you have talent. You ought to go and learn how to read music. And my mother played piano and she read music too. So she introduced me to a professor she knew at the conservatory in Cincinnati. And I started to study with him from age seven. And all during this time, you know, the older brothers, you know, I guess when I was about 8 years old, they had a hit record, you know, Shout. And we were all very proud of their success and everything. But, you know, I continued to study music, you know, with the professor. And when I graduated from high school, I went to Juilliard, the School of Music in Manhattan.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And that's when I started to hook up with the older brothers. Actually, the three of us, me, Ernie, and Marvin, because right before I graduated, we had this group called the Jasmine Trio, me, Ernie, and Marvin. And we played in a lot of, you know, like churches and high schools around the Englewood, New Jersey area. And the brothers would come to some of our shows, you know, and they liked, you know, how we were playing and everything. And that's kind of how we got together as two groups, you know. And and that's why that first album that we appeared on is called 3 Plus 3, is because,
oh,
you know,
okay.
is the first three plus, you know, the Jasmine Trio, which was the next three. So that's kind of how we got together.
Okay. And then you you started working as a group, and then you progressed as a songwriter. What was the very first song you wrote?
Wow, I can't remember the first song I wrote right now.
I mean the first song you wrote for the Isis.
Oh, for the group, yeah. Well, for the group, it was in 1972 on the album right before 3 Plus 3. It's called Love Put Me on the Corner. And that's the first one that I wrote that, you know, we all recorded and came out, you know, under the group's name. But, you know, before then, we were playing on the records before then, too. We just weren't doing,
you
know, like writing.
Okay.
Yeah, we were
okay.
Just playing with the band, you know. And in 72, that's when I started, you know, writing, and then we just kept going. The three of us became more and more, you know, part of the creative process, you know.
So what made you go solo? I mean, you've had an amazing solo career. People don't realize that you had an amazing solo career.
I guess a number of incidents beyond my control for the Talway. But it wasn't you know, a decision I made on my own. I was kind of just pushed into it, you know. You know, the Isley brothers, you know, the older brothers, you know, they had a lot of problems that we didn't have, you know, and basically financial things, and the six member group just couldn't continue on that way. We were kind of just forced into doing Isley Jazz for Isley. And then Ernie resigned from Isley Jazz for Isley after the third album.
That was after Caravan, right?
Yeah, no, after the Different Drummer album. There was an album after Caravan. And Ernie resigned from the group then, and so we couldn't continue as Isley Jazz for Isley. So CBS said, well, you know, would you do a solo project, you know? And I said, yeah, okay, I guess that's the only thing I can do now. So that's when I did my first album called Superbad. And I've been solo ever since.
I'm going to play this song called Still in Love.
Oh, yeah, Still in Love.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, Still in Love is, you know, one of those, you know, I guess you call it blue light in the basement ballads. And I went back to those piano intros that I used to do, you know, like on Highways of My Life and Lover's Eve and Sensuality. And a lot of people, you know, hit me up on Facebook. They say, hey, Chris, you know, I really like those intros, you know, you did. And actually, I put out a short video of, you know, of the intros that I've done. And I said, well, I want to start this song off with that, but then, you know, drop into that that heavy R&B groove, and, you know, that's what this song is, and do a little singing on it, too.
This is off the new album, right? You've done a lot
of
singing.
Yeah, this is off the one.
Don't say
the album's called
sure
the one.
Yeah,
the new one.
All right, we're going to drop this, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the new stuff. We may play a couple of old songs, but we're definitely going to get into this new album. We want to really get to go on what's going on with this new album and make some things happen. Again, you guys are listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
I felt all so close. close to you, girl. On the night of our first kiss, I still remember it, yeah, yeah. That's when I gave my heart to you, girl. You always keep me satisfied, yeah. Girl, you're all I ever need. Oh yeah, man. Blessed with a higher love, one that we're so proud of. You make my life, ooh, oh so sweet, girl.
I'm never gonna let you.
classic harmony that we are used to. When you say you sing a little bit, by the way, you're listening to Culture Zine Radio, where Urban Culture lives. We're with our very special guest. He's giving us an evening with Mr. Chris Jasper. How you doing, brother?
All right, man. All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones off the album, man.
When I heard that song, I was like, this is an amazing cut. This reminds me of those old, you know, Stax Motown vocals, you know, that 3- and 4-part harmony, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Let me ask you a question. You've owned your own label for quite a while now, right?
Yeah. Since 1987, I think it was, yeah.
And this is on Gold City, right?
Yeah, Gold City Music, yes.
How'd you come up with that name?
It's named after the city that comes down from heaven, the New Jerusalem, in Revelation chapter 21, I think it is. And I named it after that Gold City, that city that God has built, and you know, and that's going to come down to earth. So.
You know, you have an amazing spirit, brother. I've always wanted to tell you that your stuff comes from a very gospel background, a very spiritual background. How do you feel about when these young kids are singing R&B and they're missing soul? What you guys are singing, they don't have. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give a young vocalist that wants to be a singer, a songwriter? A lot of people don't really understand that's not just a title. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of hats to wear. Singer, songwriter, producer, you arrange everything. It's on your label. Give me a little insight to you on how you work these things out as a captain of all trades.
Yeah, well, it started, like I said, when I was young, and I wanted to know everything I could about music. You know, I just didn't want to be a performer only. I wanted to be a composer. I mean, I told my teacher that when I was a kid, and he kind of chuckled, you know. I said, I want to be like those guys, the composers, you know, with how their name on the left-hand side of the music, you know. And he said, okay, well, he said, if you want to do that, you're going to have to, you know, really learn a lot. You're going to have to really work hard. And I said, okay, you know, I was ready. You know, 'cause I really wanted to know as much as I could. And he taught me how, you know, they would put the songs together, how they would repeat their themes and the different harmonies and counterpoint that they would use. And so from an early age, I was, you know, immersed into music, you know, and that's what you really have to do. And I was also into the R&B the same way. You know, I was, you know, I used to have all the records, you know, I used to listen to all the guys, Sly, you know, Motown, you know, the stuff from Philly, you know, and analyze the music, you know, what they were doing, you know, what kind of harmony they was in, the Temptations, the Marvin Gaye. I used to love Marvin Gaye, you know, I used to have all his records, you know. And it was like the short answer is you have to immerse yourself in that music, you know, in soul music, because there's so much you can gain from, you know, what other artists has done, you know, and you can learn from that. I mean, I used to love Sam Cooke's music, you know, I used to sing all his stuff, man, you know, for the first time.
Sam Cooke.
I was a little kid, you know, and, you know, Sam was different than everybody else, you know, so was Ray Charles, you know.
That's true.
And I was into Ray Charles, you know, man. I used to love that stuff, man, Hit the Road Jack and all that stuff, you know. And it was like being immersed in soul music, you got to come out with something, you know what I mean? Some of it's going to rub off on you somehow, you know. And that's how I feel about it. I feel like a lot of times, the young kids today, they don't immerse themselves in what has come before them, you know. I've even went back, you know, into the jazz artists and what they used to do. Like I said, we came up playing jazz, you know. I used to love Ramsey Lewis. I used to love Ramsey Lewis. And we named our trio after, you know, Jasmine, the Jasmine Trio.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we were into music, man, immersed in it. And that's when you start to find yourself, you know what I mean? Once you go back and you study other people, you can kind of find yourself. I kind of found myself in between Marvin Gaye and Sam Cooke, you know what I mean? As a singer. I kind of found, well, okay, you're in there. Okay, there's where you are, Chris, you know. But it was listening to those guys and, you know, singing all their music, you know. And I think that's what is missing in today's, you know, R&B artists, is they don't immerse themselves in what came before them. And as a result, a little bit of that soul is missing, you know what I mean?
Because they don't really realize that the music actually feeds your soul, almost like a meal.
Yeah, it does.
In stating that, I'm definitely going to get into one of the songs. I don't know if this is one of the ones you want me to play, but it definitely fits right here, and that's Bringing It Back. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, you're trying to let this young generation know that this is our music. Let's control it. Let's utilize it. I'm not downgrading any of the young artists out there. I think there's some amazingly talented artists out there. But what I think we're missing is the songwriters with soul. And we're so, you know, you make it easy to be vulnerable as a writer. A lot of these young artists don't understand that as a writer, you got to be vulnerable, you know. And when we get back from this song right here, I definitely want to talk about your process as a writer and how you get there and what puts you in that position. So this is Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives, with our special guest tonight. We're having an evening with Mr. Chris Jasper, and please take a listen to this project.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Boy.
Wow. That is classic soul writing. So let's get into this. How do you, as a songwriter, sit down and write a song and figure out, you know, where you want to go? When you started with this project, did you start with a concept of what you wanted the album to be, or did you just kind of pull songs together collectively?
Yeah, I did have a main concept in mind, and that was I wanted to show all of the things that I could do musically on this album. You know, play the different types of keyboards and styles of keyboards that I play, utilize the different sounds that I've utilized in the past and some new ones too. And, you know, have each song have its own special message, you know, and have that sound that people always talk about. You know, hey, man, you know, when I hear you guys' music, you have a certain sound to it, you know. Well, I wanted that sound to be on this record, you know, all over the place. So that's kind of what I started with. But then, you know, when I write a song, a lot of times it'll come from just practicing, you know, just sitting down at the piano or, you know, and just filling out chord progressions or whatever. And then I'll come across something I really like, and then I'll build on it, you know. That's how most of the songs are written. But some songs are written, sometimes I dream songs, you know, which is a great thing when that happens, because, you know, usually I already have the chorus to it, you know, when it happens in a dream like that.
Right.
And I just have to work out the other, you know, changes. But you know, that's how it comes most of the time is by practicing and you know, playing the piano or filling out chords on a guitar. Like Caravan came when I was filling out chords on a guitar. You know, I was just playing the guitar progression. I said, hey, that sounds pretty good, you know. And then I went and put down the keyboard part and, you know, just started to build on it, you know, from there. So, but I always want stuff to be soulful. That's the main thing with me, is whatever I'm going to come out with, it, whether it be fast, whether it be slow, I want it to have some soul in it. I want it to have, you know, like if a person hears it, I want to try to transfer that feeling that I have when I'm playing it to them, you know. Like in the song Bring It On Back, you know, it had elements of, you know, soul music from the past in it, you know. If you really listen closely, you know, like the keyboard things that I used to do a long time ago, like with the Heaters On and the Pride and Live It Up, you know, that kind of keyboard riff was in there. And then it had the strings from, you know, maybe a Philly International type of string feel,
yeah,
in there, you
I
know.
Like that.
You know, the Bobby Womack kind of, you know, melody almost in some parts, you know.
I heard a little bit of the Sam Cooke vocal.
Yeah, the Sam Cooke was in there, you know what I mean? I wanted a lot of different elements to be in that particular song, you know. So a person could hear and say, hey, you know, I remember that, you know, and had a little of that Mercy, Mercy Me in there, you know. Yeah, I remember that song too. So just to bring a person back to say, hey, man, you know, let's not forget about this jewel we have in America called R&B and soul, you know. Because
I like the way you took it back to you know, gave them little understanding that, you know, it was the thing that we created here. It wasn't created anywhere else.
Created in America here, you know. And a lot of people, when they first heard it, you know, they didn't know, you know, what to make of R&B, you know. They didn't know if it would sell, but as soon as they put it on the radio, they found out, you know. And there was no stopping it from there.
So when you started putting together this album, what was the first song you put together?
I think the first song for this album was The One that I finished. And matter of fact, that's what I released first, because I had it finished and I was still working on the rest of the album. So I said, well, look, I want, you know, because this has a lot of things, ingredients in it too, that I want people to hear. So I put that out first, then I came with the rest of the album next.
Okay, so when you did stuff like, we're going to play The One in a minute, but when you did like Rock the Foundation, and you did those songs, what was the thought pattern on that?
Rock the Foundation. It's funny. My wife said to me, you know, You ought to get one of those funky songs, you know, you used to play live, you know, like they had the heavy bass in it and stuff, you know. And I said, oh, yeah, that, yeah. Because I was doing my ballads, you know. I was finishing those off. And so I'll give that some thought, you know. And it's funny, when I went down into the studio, that song came to me so fast because I just kind of went back and said, okay, I remember some of the live concerts we used to do. I remember standing on the, you know, on the, in the wings, you know, watching groups play and how the stage would rock, you know, how you could feel it under your feet, you know. And I said, yeah, well, why don't I write a song about that, you know. So that's why I said, you know, I don't want to raise the roof. I'm going to rock the foundation because that's what you can rock. You can't really raise the roof, but you can rock the foundation, you know. So that's kind of, you know, that live show thing, that's the concept behind that, you know.
When's the last time you did like a show, just a night show for you, and you know, like an evening with Chris Jasper? Do you do those kind of shows?
I haven't done one for a while. You know, it's been quite a while. I did a gospel concert a few years ago, and that was, you know, I was doing my gospel material at that show, which was great. You know, I also threw Caravan of Love in there too. But
that's a very spiritual song.
That's the last one I did. I do want to get back to doing some live shows because, you know, it was good seeing, you know, the audience, you know, reaction to different songs and getting that energy back, you know. That was a really great experience, you know, doing that, you know. Even with Isaac Jasper Isaac, we did a lot of shows. You know, we did a tour with Luther Vandross. And, you know, which was a really good tour because, you know, of course, you know what a professional he was. And,
yes, definitely.
It was just a great experience to go out on the road and do that kind of show. But it also, you know, I was able to, you know, do Caravan and get that reaction from Caravan. You know, it was great, you know, because everybody knew that song and just a great vibe, you know, when you do stuff live. So I do want to get back to that, you know.
I know you don't want to do this, but I have to play. This is one of my favorite songs from you, and I know you wrote this. It means a lot to me, and at this time where our country is, we need to remember this. This is the Ballad for the Fallen Soldier. I know this is personal for you, and me coming from a military family is very personal for me. Can you talk about that a little bit, how you did that?
Well, it was kind of a collab between me and Ernie, and of course, you could tell by the rock, you know, kind of feel to it that, you know, Ernie had something to do with it. But, you know, it was about, you know, those people that didn't have a voice, the people that, you know, nobody knew where they were, you know, people who were missing in action. And it's just something to remind, you know, it was a reminder at that time that, you know, everybody's not accounted for, you know. And it was just a song that was speaking out for them, you know.
Well, I must send this out to all those families that are going through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want people to understand that, you know, we all feel this. Again, you listen to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. We're having a very special evening with Mr. Chris Jasper. And with that, we're going to send this out to the soldiers and their families.
I sing the
Culture Zine Radio Network, Urban Culture Lives. We have been blessed this evening to have this very special guest, Mr. Chris Jasper, spending an evening with us and teaching us and telling us about this music game. So if you had some advice, my brother, about a young artist trying to start a label, an established artist trying to start a label, striking out on his own, what would be your advice from your standpoint?
Well, I'd first let them know that it's not easy. I mean, it's very difficult. Sometimes, you know, when you see things that are successful, they appear to be easy, but usually there's a lot of work behind it. And that's what I would say, be prepared to work hard, be prepared, you know, to have some disappointments because everything won't work, you know, that you try. But you guys got to, you gotta be tough and keep coming back and, you know, try and try again, and also have some someone, if it's not yourself, who understands legal affairs, and you know contracts and copyright issues. That's very important.
Say that again, my brother, please.
Yeah, have someone who understands. Have someone that either you trust, or you know, that works for you, or can work on your behalf when it comes to contracts and copyright issues, because that's the area where a lot of people run into trouble, and sometimes affects their entire career if they start off on the wrong foot. So, you know, that business end is just as important as your creative end, because it can affect your creativity, and that's the first things I would tell someone.
The reason I ask you to repeat that is just, I have an independent label of my own, and there's a million guys out there that do. I try and express to these young artists that understanding that their paperwork is something that is very important,
mm-hmm.
and it helps you really stay in business. Mm-hmm. So I had a question. Who distributes your products?
Right now, I distribute my own product. You know, I used to be associated with Sony, but now I'm independent. So, it takes a lot more work. But like I said, I all my life I've been working hard, so I don't. It doesn't faze me. You know, I'll put in the extra hours. You know, and you know whatever it takes. But you have to be tough. I have to say that. You can't be weak. You can't be a person who, if you spend like the whole day doing something, you can't regret it. You have to have fun. I told my son, I said, the difference between people who are successful usually and people who are not is that people who are successful love to work. You know, it's not a burden to them. You know what I mean? It's like they look forward to work, just like I do. I look forward to working. I don't look at it like it's a problem. And a lot of times that's the difference, because work is always going to produce something good. You will always get something good out of working. Now, it may not be, huge benefits at first, but, it'll build. It'll build your career. Everything you do will help you. If you slack off, that won't help you. You quit.
Yeah, you got to stay focused.
Right. Quitting is a guarantee not to be successful. So you have to have that mindset. And, hey, like I said, I could work, most of the day and not care. I enjoy it.
I definitely know the feeling.
Yeah.
The single that you have out right now is called Kissing Me, right?
Yeah, Kiss Me. Yeah, that's the single that's out now.
What was the concept behind that?
Actually, on anniversary, we were out at this hotel, me and my wife, and she bought me a guitar for my anniversary, and I took it upstairs and I was tuning it up, and I just started again. I was feeling around some chords, and I came across something I liked, I said, hey, Marge, where's your phone? I said, let me put this down before I forget it. And I just played that chord progression. I said, okay, good. All right, when I get home, I'm gonna work on this. And it just came to me like that, from one of our anniversaries. And I tell her that's our anniversary song,
It's an amazing song. Is that the single that's out right now?
Yes, it is.
And they can pick this up anywhere on iTunes and
most
of the digital distribution networks, right?
CD Baby, Amazon,
Tidal, all of that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, we're going to get into this song, Kiss Me, Mr. Chris Jasper, and then we'll be back to definitely talk about where he plans to go and how you can get a hold of him and all those wonderful things. Again, you're listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
My friends to
Conversation and enlightening on music and the music business and songwriting and being one of those cornerstones and one of the most legendary soul groups, R&B and soul groups, man. I want to thank you as a fan. I want to let you know that your music has inspired generations and we're very appreciative of your sound. We're very appreciative that you're still out there cutting these monster records. Are you working with any young artists, or do you write for other artists sometimes?
Well, I'm working with my son right now. He's finishing up a project. He's probably going to have a single coming out next month. So
okay.
Michael is actually he does a lot of the rhythm tracks on my songs. If you notice the rhythms and stuff on some of those records
okay.
you just heard. So Michael he's got the rhythm, you know. He's got that rhythm like I had, you know. So I say, look, Mike, if you can hear something, you know, add something to it, go ahead, man. And he's really good at it, and so he's got his own music coming out too.
We hopefully you will allow us to break his record on this station and definitely continue to play your music. How can people reach you? How can people, you know, get in contact with you? Maybe even book you, those kind of things.
It's very simple. Just go to chrisjasper.com. And all of the different places, you know, like Facebook is on there. You know, wherever you can purchase the music is on there. You can hear all the music that I've done, you know, is on chrisjasper.com. So, you know, you can contact me right there at chrisjasper.com.
Okay, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to let you choose. Did you want to do, I think it's Man Up. The one, or did you
want to
do Insatiable One? Which one did you
want to
do?
You know, let's see. We've been listening to the ballads all night. I guess you know, it's kind of hard for me to pick. Do you want to run another ballad? Or do you want to run some funk?
It's your choice, brother. It's your choice.
Well, I know Man Up is some funk, so. Maybe you can go out with that.
Okay. You have been listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. We have had a very special guest and a very special blessing, an evening with Mr. Chris Jasper. Hopefully we can get the brother to come back. We definitely want to continue to build and push with you and work and do anything that we can to help you. Definitely bring your son back. We'll sit down and play some music. With that,
yeah.
I want to let you guys know that you can, you know, the album is out, right?
Yeah, it's out, yeah. The one is out.
Yeah, the album?
It's out in physical CD, too. You know, you can order both, you know, digitally or physically.
There you go. I want to give peace and blessings to my staff over at Soulbridge Entertainment, Culture Zine Media, and Culture Zine Radio Network. My partner in crime over there handling the boards, Mr. Master Green over there. With that, I want to say he may not come when you call, but he's always on time.
All right.
Peace.